أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. We start by praising Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one who is the most forgiving, the most merciful, who has gathered us here first to worship Him in His home and then to follow up with seeking knowledge. This is only a blessing upon which He bestows whom He wills. And He is the only one with no partner, no helper. And Him alone did He reveal the Qur'an in these blessed last 10 nights. And Him alone do we seek help. And we send salutations upon His beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who was sent as a mercy to mankind to take us from darkness to light, who has revealed the Qur'an in these last 10 nights and who we follow as a guide for all of mankind. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So yesterday we covered Ibrahim alayhi salam in the face of tyranny, in the face of when he had a debate with Nimrud, the king of his time, and how despite all the obstacles, he still managed to display that courage and bravery, regardless of all the chips being pinned against him. And all of that comes from his pure tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jalla. How continuously over the last 5 days we've read about Ibrahim alayhi salam, and how he's maintained that iman in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And today's no different. We're going to have a look at a different avenue of Ibrahim alayhi salam's life. What happened after these events? So today we'll be learning a little bit more about his son, Ismail alayhi salam, and the reward and struggle that came after everything Ibrahim alayhi salam went through. So Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Sarah and his nephew Lut alayhi salam, after what had happened in Iraq, first they moved to Egypt shortly after what we discussed, because he realized that there was no one in his area who was going to follow him. And in Egypt they came across another tyrant, another king who ruled evil against them. He ruled evil against Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife. And once they had again put their trust in Allah, they managed to escape this king as well. And they went to move to Palestine. While in Egypt, Sarah alayhi salam was granted a slave girl by the name of Hajar alayhi salam. Up until this point now, at this point Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife are both closing in on their 80s. Lut alayhi salam is no longer living with them, he went his own way, and we know the story of Lut alayhi salam. So Sarah is barren, she's not had any children up until this point, she's an older lady, no children. Ibrahim alayhi salam is an old man, no children. And so she frees Hajar and allows Ibrahim alayhi salam to marry her and have a child with her. And they give birth to a boy, and his name was alayhi salam, exactly, Ismail alayhi salam. So who was Ismail alayhi salam? Allah says in the Quran, Surah Maryam, verse 54, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. I mention in the book, O Prophet, the story of Ismail. He was truly a man of his word, and was a messenger and a prophet. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. He used to urge his people to pray and give alms tax, or the zakat, and his Lord was well pleased with him. Alayhi salam. So, from these verses, we learn that Ismail alayhi salam was a prophet and a messenger of Allah azza wa jalla. His story starts when his mother and Ibrahim alayhi salam are in Palestine. So we know obviously he married his mother. Ibrahim alayhi salam has a child with him. And then later, while they're staying in Palestine, shortly after, he receives instruction. So this is actually while he was weaning. So he's a very, very small baby at this point, maybe a couple of months. And Ibrahim alayhi salam receives instruction to take them to a valley and leave them there, in an area around the Arabian Peninsula. And this valley that they're instructed to go to, there's no trees, no water, and no sign of life. Nothing. Ibrahim alayhi salam gave Hajar a bag with some provisions, a couple of dates and some water, and proceeded to just walk away, saying nothing, dead silence. Hajar alayhi salam continued to follow him and say to him, "What are you doing? Why are we here?" And he didn't respond. And he didn't look at her either. And then she realized, she says to him, "Has Allah ordered you to do this?" And that's when he turns around and says, "Yes." And look at the tawakkul of this woman. She says, "Then he will not neglect us." When Ibrahim alayhi salam got out of the eyesight and he had made it just outside the valley, he raised his hands and he made a dua, which is recorded in Surah Ibrahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse 37. ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيم الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. So the dua he made was, "Our Lord, I have settled some of my offspring in a barren valley near your sacred house. Our Lord, so that they may establish prayer. So make the hearts of believing people inclined towards them and provide them with fruit so perhaps they will be thankful." So let's just look at it from an outsider's perspective for a minute. You have this mother and a child alone in this desert. The provisions eventually run out and the child and the mother naturally get hungry. So Hajar alayhi salam, being the caring mother that she is, she starts to run between two mountains that are nearby to her. Does anyone know what those mountains are? Safa and Marwa. You can read the screen as well, you can. And may Allah protect you. And so she ran between the two mountains to see if anyone was coming. So if you're high up, people may catch there's a woman in a mountain. Bear in mind, these are the only two people there. And she did this 7 times, which is why now, when we do Umrah and Hajj, we're commemorating the sacrifice of our mother, Hajar alayhi salam. And then she returned to, and when she returned to the place, she noticed a spring gushing next to her. And as we know, it's because the angel, one of the angels, struck his heel under the ground next to Ismail alayhi salam, and came forth a spring. So she frantically, very quickly, very swiftly, began to fill her water skin, scoop around, say zam, 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 zam. What do you think that water is now? There you go. Zam, zam water. And the angel then told her, "Don't be afraid of being neglected, for this is the house of Allah, which will be built by this boy and his father, and Allah never neglects his people." Later, as Ismail alayhi salam and his mother are settled there, a tribe from Yemen called Jurhum comes. And they notice that birds are flying around an area. And these birds are birds that hang around water sources. So they follow the bird and it leads them. And they notice a mother and a son in the middle of nowhere. And then they ask if they can share in that water source. And she goes, "The water belongs to us, but you can settle here." And Ismail alayhi salam, he was raised by these people. They brought their families there to settle in and make a civilization. He was raised from amongst them. He learned Arabic from them. He even married amongst them. And he spends his entire life amongst these people, even after his mother, alayhi salam, passes away. So the hadith is a very lengthy one. And this is just half of it. It's Bukhari hadith 3364. Inshallah, I'll be going through the rest of it tomorrow as we go on to the next story. But I just want to stop at this point for now. The childhood of Ismail alayhi salam. So now, alhamdulillah, we have a foundational knowledge of who Ismail alayhi salam is as a little boy and how he was brought up, his parents. So let's take some lessons from it now, inshallah, as we usually do. First and foremost, the sacrifice of a righteous mother and father. Imagine, you're in your 80s, you're an old person, you have no children. Do you guys really think that Ibrahim alayhi salam, 80 years, not once he wouldn't have made dua for a child? Naturally, yeah. That's what you want. You get married, you have kids, and that's it. And so, obviously, we don't know how much dua he was making, but you can imagine being to the age of 80 with no children. That will cross your heart. And you learn later on, that happens generations later with Zakaria alayhi salam. He says to Ya Allah, "My hair's white, my bones are fragile, and I'm old." But he asks Allah for a child and he gets Yahya alayhi salam. So there's no difference. The natural inclination of any mother and father is to have offspring to carry on their legacy. And now his dua is accepted. You're in your 80s, you finally got this child. Right? You've been praying so long. And then only within like a couple of months, couple of weeks, you're told, okay, you have to take this child and his mum and leave him alone in a barren valley. Just leave him there. To get a bit of water, a bit of dates. Or let's look at it from the mother's perspective. You have this child, you spent 9 months carrying him. You have to go through the pangs of labor. You bring this child into this world. You have a righteous husband. Life is good in Palestine. And all of a sudden, you're alone in the middle of a desert. How do you think most people would react? Be honest. Yeah. So, unfortunately with us, we'd probably then be arguing, shouting, fighting, and complaining. But this is the excellence of these people. Look, if there's one word anyone takes away from these last 6 days, I want it to be excellence. Because that really represents Ibrahim alayhi salam, the family of Ibrahim and the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hajar alayhi salam knows that her husband is a messenger of Allah. He knows. So it's enough for her that is an instruction from Allah. She doesn't question it. She hears, she obeys, done. Allah will look after us. You know, we're told, sami'na wa ta'na, right? We hear and we obey. These guys just did it. They didn't have to, there was no thinking time in between it. She just knew, Allah commanded it. And what was initially a stressful situation, serenity, sakina. The second part is the Zamzam water. So alhamdulillah, a victory, falah. We got some water. But it didn't come immediately, did it? The provisions ran out. She literally had to run between two mountains. And naturally, if you talk to any geologist, they'll tell you that every time you go up a mountain and you come back down, you take a little bit with you, don't you? So you can imagine, if you guys have been to Makkah or Medina, or Makkah, obviously, of course, Safa Marwa, the mountain doesn't look that high at the moment. Now back then, it would have been higher just naturally for the degree of the earth itself. So running 7 times, this woman, having to keep an eye on a child, running in between. Only when she comes back, she sees the Zamzam. So what that tells you is that the reward comes from Allah, but there has to be a little bit of effort on your part. It's not just going to come out of nothing. My Ustad, rahimahullah, he taught me, he goes, anything worthwhile at all will come with effort. Anything you do. And it's a natural thing. I discussed it a couple of months back when we discussed the value of time. That if you discuss an expert at anything, he spent a minimum of 10,000 hours doing it. But Allah decides the time frame of when he's going to reward you. But you have to, with that sincerity, you have to prove why you want it. Allah recognizes the sincere efforts of a righteous mother. And subhanAllah, look, this gift is so long-lasting, it overlasted her. To this day, we benefit from Zamzam water. And we commemorate her sacrifice during the Hajj and Umrah. So her effort didn't go to waste. Because Allah never lets the deeds of the righteous go to waste. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam. Again, subhanAllah, we spent 5 days and we still haven't done Ibrahim alayhi salam justice. May Allah forgive our weak efforts. But his manifestation of tawakkul, he does exactly as he is instructed, no matter how difficult it may be. And then when he's far away, he doesn't sit there and like, okay, now I can complain, right? They're gone. He makes dua and he completely relies on Allah in his dua. He starts off, Rabbana, our Lord. And of course Allah knows, but he's talking to Allah here. And he asks, and all of it is for why? So make the hearts of believing people inclined towards them. And he also says, our Lord, that they may establish prayer. He knows he's settling those people there to worship Allah, because it's already been decreed that that will be where the house of Allah is built. So it's amazing just looking at the sacrifice. Do you know, to us, it's hard to relate. It is, it's difficult to imagine Makkah, if you've been to Makkah, looking at it now, could you imagine it ever being a barren desert? Empty, not a single person there. You can't, it's hard. But this is why it's all recorded for us to learn this. I highly, highly advise, as I usually do during these talks, that you go to the source material, go read a book of stories of the prophets and read about this. Try to picture it. You won't be able to, but try. And empathize and understand and show some compassion and ultimately appreciation to Ibrahim alayhi salam, to Hajar alayhi salam, to Sara alayhi salam, to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to actually discuss how Ismail alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam's relationship is growing up. We'll discuss a little bit about the Kaaba and how when they built that together, then we'll discuss the sacrifice and then we'll start to wrap up towards the end days. But inshallah, we'll do that tomorrow. But today was primarily just to see the sheer effort, the sheer sacrifice of these people. And noticing that Allah is with them throughout the entire thing. Again, 6 days we spent with Ibrahim alayhi salam so far. And not once have you experienced any, not even the minimal amount that Allah abandons Ibrahim alayhi salam. And look, Allah loves Ibrahim alayhi salam so much that even when Ibrahim alayhi salam isn't there, he's looking after his family. And they display, because they display their tawakkul and belief in Allah. And Allah provides for whom He wills, when He wills. So may Allah Jalla Jalaluhu allow us to practice and to reflect upon the stories of these excellent examples. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. And may Allah send His peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and all the anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.